we have yet another vineyard parable. They come pretty thick and fast in Matthew's Gospel. I don't know what that tells us about Matthew. Today's parable is, and should be, to those who really listen to it, very challenging. The parable itself is pretty easy to work out what it means, but it is challenging in the way it puts us, all of us, on the spot. When I was looking at my commentaries and going through what Tom Wright and William Barclay have to say on this passage, I kept coming back to a quote from another wise person, my mum. When my mum wants to make a point, which, as some of you know, happens quite frequently, she has a phrase, and she has many phrases, my mum does, but she says, listen to what I'm saying now. Quite often with a finger as well. Listen to what I'm saying now. Which is rather amusing, because it doesn't give you the chance to do anything else at all. Also, when directed to me, it will be, listen to what I'm saying now, Jonathan. There we go. But there is something of that in our gospel reading today. Jesus saying, listen to what I'm saying now. But he tells the parable of what is sometimes referred to as the parable of the wicked tenants. As I say, this is not a difficult parable to understand. It is the simplicity of this parable which is very disconcerting when we really stop and listen to what Jesus is saying to us. We have the characters in the story. The owner, who is God the Father, he owns the vineyard. No one else, it's God's. The vineyard represents the promised land, and beyond that, the created world, given as a gift to people to live in harmony with one another and to appreciate it. Then, the other characters. We have the messengers, who are representative of the Old Testament prophets. And then we have the owner's son, who, of course, is Jesus. And then we have the tenants. Who are the tenants? Well, undoubtedly, when the parable was first told, Jesus was pointing to the Pharisees and the others of the chosen people who were not living out their lives in accordance with the will of God as they abide in the promised land, given to them as a gift by God, the landowner, and who, in fact, then reject the owner, believing as they do that they are inheritors of the land, and finally, with a chilling sense of foreboding at the crucifixion, reject and kill the son. It is easy for us to read and listen to this parable and say, hang on a minute, what's the matter with the people Jesus is preaching to? After all, they've got him right there in front of them, amongst them. Why don't they listen to what he is saying? Why don't they get it? If we keep the parable entirely in the context of the first listeners, then it is easy to just shake our heads and think, what fools. But the glory of the parables is that they show eternal truths for people of every age, every generation, to learn something from and to question where we are in the story. So where are we? Well, we're clearly not God the Father and God the Son, and I don't think anyone here is an Old Testament prophet. So we are the people. So have we listened to the reading with that thought in mind? Or have we adopted a rather superior approach to the message? Because that is the key. We are told that the chief priests and Pharisees know that Jesus is talking about them. But do I recognize, when listening to this parable, that Jesus is warning me too? What am I taking for granted? What has the church taken for granted? Have we rejected the true cornerstone? One reason I like to change the way we do, say, the Gloria and the Creeds, and change the Eucharistic prayer, is not to try and catch people out, but so that we hear them differently, Sunday by Sunday, react to them differently, and wonder, question what they mean. Throughout history, the Christian Church has relied on the creeds to be our building blocks, to provide concise summaries of the content of our faith. But we have a problem if we don't listen to what is being said. We have a huge problem if when we say the creeds, we think that we know it all, in the way that the religious leaders of Jesus' time thought they knew everything, that they exclusively knew the truth about God, and there was nothing new to be discovered about him. What had been loaned to them, they now felt was theirs, and theirs alone. But then Jesus came and taught about turning the other cheek, about loving one's enemy. If someone asks you for a cloak, give him your coat as well. Jesus continually challenges and urges those listening to him to listen to things in a new and different way, so that the boundaries of their thinking would be challenged and opened and extended. That was the message the crowds had gathered to hear him 2,000 years ago, and it is his challenge to us today. How open are we to hearing the message in a new and different way? How open are we to listening, to allow ourselves to be surprised, to allow ourselves to be amazed even, to be bowled over by God's love for us? In our lives, in the week ahead, let us just take time out to listen to passages of Scripture, to listen to the world, to listen around us, and find a new, different way of where God is working in our lives and around us. Amen.